Luke Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. I do believe that's my favorite intro bump music there. I like that one. That's one of my favorite ones. Hey, listen, before I get back to the Triple Dippers Judicial Watch here, let me just tell you about Otter Creek Farm. You hear the ads all the time on here. There's a reason why. Because it's so cool. I mean, you got to check this place out. If you've not done so, I encourage you, just look at their website. You may be looking for a wedding venue. You may be looking to go for a pheasant or quail hunt, do some wing shooting. You may be looking for an opportunity to have a corporate retreat or just find a day when you can get away to a place that has hundreds of manicured acres and beautiful facilities and a culinary staff that will cook for you like you would not believe. Otter Creek Farm, that's it. They've been featured in Garden and Gun magazine. Donald Trump Jr. came there and stayed not long ago for a quail hunt. Listen, you got to check this out. The website is OtterCreekFarmstead.com. OtterCreekFarmstead.com. Right here in North Alabama, an oasis you will not believe. So listen, yeah, we're going back to the Triple Dipper here. I am on I'm on a roll right now with legal rulings. The lawyer in me cannot help but notice how much is happening in the realm of judicial action right now. Notice I didn't say judicial activism, I said action, because they're making decisions. And I don't sense any activism. But what's interesting to me, though, is when you get what I would call disparate or different rulings from one district to another. That's why very often when there are multiple cases with similarities, they combine them into one area. And in the majority of our I'm trying to think which one of the mandates had it. Majority of the mandates related to the employers with 100 or more, I believe it is. I think that one is all we call that the OSHA mandate. I think that one has all been consolidated now in the Sixth Circuit. Then there's other things that are out there related to other types of cases. Well, just so you know, our Attorney General, it's not just the private cases like the ones that we've had with United Launch Alliance and that kind of stuff that we've talked about here on the show, but there are also any number of cases involving state action. Because the states do have a say. And that 10th Amendment, I talk about it all the time, this 10th Amendment to the United States does say this. Basically, it very clearly states that those matters not otherwise reserved for the federal government devolve to the state, and the states do have a sovereign right to make decisions about things that happen to their people, to their properties, to things within their own borders. Okay, that being said, our Attorney General has been in the thick of it. Keep in mind that our Attorney General, Steve Marshall, who's been on the show several times, that Attorney General Steve Marshall, he's not content just to, you know, prosecute crimes here in the state of Alabama. He's out there trying to make a difference in the nation. He's got a statesmanlike view of what an attorney general can and should be. He also believes in the 10th Amendment and the rights of states to have a say. And when the federal government gets carried away, he's not afraid to go after it. He's also the chairman, I believe, of the Republican Attorney General's Association. And as a result, he gets kind of in the thick of stuff quite often. Well, just yesterday, I'm looking at a story. 1819 News has a story, A.G. Marshall wins injunction against the Biden vaccine mandate. All right, which one? This one is as to the medical health care and medical health care facilities and health care providers. All right. Attorney General Steve Marshall announced a court ruling against President Biden's health care worker vaccine mandate, as a federal court granted his motion to block that mandate. This is a case in which Alabama, led by Attorney General Marshall, and attorney generals from 13 other states, 14 states total, all combined to fight back against what we call the CMS, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services mandate. All right, that's big doings. That particular mandate right there would gut the funding for hospitals and healthcare facilities like, you know, surgery centers and clinics. It would gut them. Because if they don't get their vaccinations mandated, pretty much without exemptions being allowed, then they would lose their funding. Well, that's a body blow, y'all. That'll crush, especially the small town hospitals. So on Tuesday, the court in the U.S. District Court for the Western District of Louisiana granted a preliminary injunction. For those of you who don't know, what very often happens in these cases is you go into the case and you say, "Hey, Judge, here's the merits of our case. We really believe that we have a right to try this matter. And in the meantime, we want you to freeze everything. Maintain the status quo. Don't let anybody have to go deal with the results of what we're suing about. Put it all on hold." That's called a preliminary injunction during the pendency of the trial. Okay, so it doesn't always happen, but in this case it did. The court saw fit to completely enjoin the CMS or the Medicare-Medicaid mandate on healthcare facilities. But the ruling that came down, man, the ruling was something else. I mean, this judge did not play. And by the way, I'm looking at a separate story. Oh, where'd it go? The Louisiana, yeah. Separate story. This one came off of Fox. So 1819 is reporting it from a state level. Fox reporting it from a national level. Fox News is reporting that this is a nationwide injunction. That this is not just within those 14 states. They're saying on Fox that this decision to issue an injunction against the medical health care mandates, that it's a nationwide injunction. That is huge. So as I'm looking at it here, listen to what the judge had to say. It just warms my legal heart here. Give me 1 second. I am dealing with a tickle throat today that is wearing me out. All right. So listen, he says in here in his ruling, if the separation of powers meant anything to the constitutional framers, it meant that the three necessary ingredients to deprive a person of liberty or property, which are the power to make rules, to enforce them, and to judge their violations, could never fall into the same hands. If the executive branch, he says, is allowed to usurp the power of the legislative branch to make laws, two of the three powers conferred by the Constitution would then be in the same hands. This is huge. And I'm just going to tell you, I'm excited about this ruling. And no, I'm not crying on the air, trying to keep myself from coughing in the microphone. Oh, my goodness. All right, listen. Kelsey, I think I'm going to have to take a break, buddy. Go ahead and run me to a break. When we get back, I'll finish this up. Wow, I am just sitting here choking on my coffee. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. Take care. Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right, and sucking on a cough drop. That's me right now. I've got people texting me pictures of cough drops, and thank you, David, from Huntsville. I appreciate that. And I don't know about y'all, but have you ever had that time when you're like sitting in church and somebody this does something and it makes you want to laugh and you know you're not supposed to laugh, which makes it worse? Well, try doing that when you're trying not to cough on the radio. That'll wear you out. But hey, listen, that's just part of reality. That's live radio, man. That's how you know this is legit. We are live. All right, where was I? So, yeah, here's the bottom line. The ruling that came from that court, the same one that our Attorney General Steve Marshall was involved in, we've got other rulings going on at the same time. Here's another story. This one comes off the Federalist. I'm looking at it right now. Title of it says, federal judge slaps down Biden's vaccine mandate for contractors in Kentucky, Ohio, and Tennessee. Okay, this is the other one. One of those mandates, we have one for DOD contractors. You remember that? So basically, if you're a contractor, not necessarily in the Army, not necessarily a healthcare worker, not necessarily one of those that has 100 or more employees, but you have contracts with the U.S. government, doesn't matter whether you're a teleworker, you've got to get vaccinated. Well, U.S. District Judge Gregory Van Tottenhoff in Kentucky, Ohio, and Tennessee says, nope, we're not doing that right now. He went on to issue a preliminary injunction in their case that literally states that all things come to a grinding halt in those three states with regards to DOD contractors. Now, here's the issue. I think you're going to hear from my friend Matt Clark in a little while that yesterday afternoon, that the federal district court judge who currently has, who by the way is an Obama appointee, if I remember, that has the United Launch Alliance case, chose not to issue a preliminary injunction in a case very similar to the one that I'm holding in my hands right now, just north of our border in Tennessee. So when you begin to have these disparate or different reactions by the courts, well, it creates a sort of a patchwork quilt, if you will, of judicial rulings all over the nation. And that's not good. That's not good for jurisprudence. It's not good because it's supposed to be federal law, so it applies across state borders. And what you're going to wind up having is these things are going to wind up getting appealed. So even if right now the United Launch Alliance case decides, we're going forward on the merits, which they are, by the way, I'm not saying they aren't, they would have a right now to appeal this preliminary injunction based upon the fact that secondary law, they call it, outside the district, secondary law is already saying, no, same thing applies here. And yet we're doing it differently. But in this case, Kentucky, Ohio, Tennessee, preliminary injunction as to contractors. The court actually made some things pretty clear. Said here in a quote from the ruling issued by the court by Judge Tottenhoff, can the president use congressionally delegated authority to manage the federal procurement of goods and services to impose vaccines on the employees of federal contractors and subcontractors? In all likelihood, the answer to that question is no. Oh. So for that reason, the pending request for a preliminary injunction will be granted. And he goes on to say several things, like for instance, down at the bottom in this article, it says the decision comes just one day after the White House directed federal agencies to halt suspending or firing any federal employees over not receiving the COVID-19 jab. So I did not know that. Apparently they're saying right now, federal agencies, actual federal employees, have been told to hold off on firing people for not having gotten their vaccines yet. What they're finding is, I think what happened, I can't read the mind of Biden. I can't. Who can? I don't know anybody. I'm not sure Biden can read the mind of Biden, to be honest with you. But what we're seeing here, I believe, is clear evidence that when the Biden administration issued this mandate, they just thought everybody would roll over and go, okay, you said so, so we will do so. And it's not working out that way for them. And suddenly they're beginning to realize, oh my gosh, we got like a huge amount of federal employees that chose not to get vaccinated. What are we going to do? Or we've got contractors and we're not going to have anybody to backfill their contract. And what are we going to do with military readiness? And it is wearing them out right now. And I'm glad of it because it was a stupid decision to begin with. But then I've got one right here that I'm not sure that I've got my head wrapped around yet. This one was sent to me by Glenn from Huntsville this morning. And I'm sitting here looking at it, trying to figure out, what are we saying here? An article off of a medical journal called The Defender, Children's Health Magazine, or Children's Health Journal, literally says that a federal district court judge, this is dated yesterday, a federal district court judge rejected a claim by the U.S. Department of Defense that the Pfizer biotech COVID-19 vaccine being administered under the current emergency use authorization is interchangeable with the other fully licensed Comirnaty vaccine. Okay, I was not aware Pfizer had more than one vaccine out there for COVID. But what they're saying is only one of those has been authorized. And so a federal district court judge yesterday in the Northern District of Florida, right, I mean, think about this. All of this is bracketing our borders. We may find the judge in the United Launch Alliance case is outnumbered because people north and south of him are not agreeing with his decisions. In the Northern District of Florida, U.S. Federal District Court Judge Alan Windsor has literally denied a preliminary injunction requested by service members, but in doing so, he made other statements that the DOD, the Department of Defense, cannot mandate vaccines that only have an emergency use authorization. Well, that's big doing. Now, they didn't get their injunction like they had hoped for, but they did get something that nobody saw coming. The judge is saying, if the bio vaccine being, touted and used by the Department of Defense is still under an EUA, that it cannot be mandated. If that's the case, that applies to Moderna and Johnson & Johnson also. This is an unusual ruling. And I would also suggest this. Defense contractors, federal contractors, well, if the DOD can't enforce it against their own employees, then in like manner, can it also be attributed to the cases regarding defense contractors in general? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I'm a lawyer, but I don't have all the answers. That's for darn sure, and no lawyer can claim to ever have all the answers. But I will tell you this. The merits of these cases are going forward in a big, big way. Big, big way. Now, listen, let me shift gears for a minute because I'm going to stick with, you know, so the triple dipper today, that was a review of what I would call vaccine mandate rulings. That was number one on the triple dipper. Number two on the triple dipper, though, you heard it in my monologue. Today's the day, y'all. Today's the day. The Supreme Court today heard arguments on Roe v. Wade. And when I say that, let me phrase correctly. The Supreme Court today heard arguments on a Mississippi law that allows for the state to limit abortions after a 15-week term of pregnancy. You cannot perpetuate the idea that states don't have rights. There are many, many legal scholars that believe that Roe v. Wade was really what we would call bad law. It was decided wrongly, not because they hate abortion, but literally on the legal aspects of the way the determination came down. One of which was to take something that was not written into our Constitution and suddenly say that under the 14th Amendment, that there's a blanket one-size-fits-all determination that applies across the nation as to abortion and that states have no right within their own borders to limit or promote abortion. Well, we're at a place today where that is going to be tried in a big, big way. We're at a place today where the Supreme Court heard arguments, and the Supreme Court actually argued among themselves. Looking at a story right now, where'd it go? Yeah, right here on Fox. Fox has been doing an update on this, and now I got to go back to the scroll up and find the actual spot. But apparently Justice Breyer? Yeah. Justice Kavanaugh and Justice Breyer. And when I say got into it, let me rephrase. They don't, like, start arguing with each other per se. There's just these kind of little learned, snippy comments that go back and forth. So Justice Kavanaugh, who some people believe is the hinge point in the whole thing, that Justice Kavanaugh was talking about the fact from the bench that he believes that there are times when history tells us that a prior decision of the Supreme Court should still be overturned, and he named several. He pointed out that Brown v. Board of Education outlawed separate but equal, that Baker v. Carr set the stage for one person, one vote, that a case called West Coast Hotel recognized states have authority to regulate businesses, and on and on and on. Well, Justice Breyer didn't sit well with that, and a few minutes later, the article says that Justice Breyer, which never happens like this, slammed Kavanaugh. I say slammed, it's what the article says, but anyway, he came back and said, they do not include the list that Justice Kavanaugh had here. Well, that rarely, if ever, happens from the bench. I will say this. The rancor that we see in Congress and the Senate right now is never usually seen in the U.S. Supreme Court. There is a professional courtesy of not going after each other. Now, they may say things once in a while in their opinions that lead you to believe that the dissent was behind closed doors a little bit difficult. But I don't know that I've ever seen from the bench where one said something and was immediately contradicted by the other, knowingly, openly, by saying his name. This tells you what kind of case we got here. Well, right now, the case is before the Supreme Court, and we have a 6-3 conservative majority. A 6-3 conservative. When have we had that? We've never had that. In my lifetime, we haven't had that. A 6-3 conservative majority. I just looked a moment ago. Here's a case, an article from the Washington Post. You heard me, the Washington Post. The Washington Post, not known for being a bastion of conservatism. But the Washington Post popped a story up 34 minutes ago that says the Supreme Court does seem inclined to uphold Mississippi's abortions law, and it could undermine Roe v. Wade. That's big doings. If the liberals at the Washington Post are already preparing themselves for one of their, you know, one of the third rails of legal jurisprudence, in their opinion, if they're saying it just doesn't look good for us already, that's a clear indication that the arguments today appeared to indicate that the discussions among the justices appeared to indicate that the conservative majority may well uphold Mississippi's law, but what they will do in that ruling to Roe v. Wade is yet to be determined. We're going to come back with Matt Clark. Matt Clark from the Center for Law and Liberty, who probably won't have to suck on a cough drop like I am right now, will give us a full skinny on what he's seeing, plus break down some of the other legal actions going on around the nation. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.